And go ahead and open them up to Titus chapter 2, a passage we have returned to again and again and again over the past 7 months. As a matter of fact, we've returned to this passage so many times, you may actually begin to feel like you're Bill Murray in that old movie from 1993, Groundhog Day. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a film where Bill Murray relives the same day over and over and over and over. Murray plays a weatherman, and he's completely against the assignment to go to a small town in southeastern Pennsylvania called Punxsutawney. But Punxsutawney, once a year, on February 2nd, becomes world famous. It holds the largest celebration of Groundhog Day in the entire world. For 121 straight years, on February 2nd, amid a festive atmosphere of food and music, the city leaders gather together at what is called Gobbler's Knob in top hats and tuxes, and they bring out Punxsutawney Phil, a groundhog. And if he sees his shadow, that means there's 6 more weeks of winter. Well, Bill Murray just wants to get in, do the report, and get out. Now, the previous evening, there was supposedly a snowstorm that was coming through Punxsutawney, but weatherman Bill Murray says, no worries, it's not going to hit us. And soon after he does his report and is ready to leave, the freakish storm hits, and he is snowed in. Now, he thinks he's going to have to just spend one more night in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. But as it turns out, with every waking day at 6 a.m., the day repeats itself over and over and over and over. He is stuck in a time warp. Now, at first, he's anxious. And then he gets a little cynical. But finally, Bill Murray thinks, you know what? If I'm going to relive the same day again and again and again, maybe I can get it right. And he starts to help people and treat people with dignity and compassion. He even falls in love and lives the perfect day. Now, that's a great storyline. It's fun to see it in a movie, but we all know that no matter how many do-overs we get, we're never going to live the perfect day. The good news, however, is that as we begin to understand and live out the gospel pipeline day after day after day, we are led to understand that grace does, in fact, give us do-overs. Now, for those of you who are new, the gospel pipeline is a tool that we've developed that reveals the process of how God tends to take us further up and further in to His transforming grace. The process looks a little bit like this. We move from what is moralism and behavioralism to freedom from performance, and then to grace being our motivation for godly discipline and mission to the glory of God. But there's one final element of the pipeline that we need to cover this morning. And it's going to cause us to feel a little bit like Groundhog Day. One more element to God's 12-step recovering program of grace that causes us to realize once we come to the end of the pipeline, we've really only entered the beginning. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's Word. And follow along with me for, who knows, the last time in a long time, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, through Titus 3, verse 8. This is the Word of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. May God bless the hearing and teaching of His inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative Word. Please pray with me. Father, we come to the end of this series on the pipeline. And much like high school students that come to graduation, it's not an end, it's a beginning. It's called commencement. And so, Father, this is our commencement service to live out gospel-driven lives. Hammer these truths we've been studying over the past 7 months. Hammer them home to our hearts so that we could revisit them. See grace renewed in our lives, and so that we could even teach the pipeline to others for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I have a little bit of a surprise for you this morning. A new revelation. The gospel pipeline, in some ways, really isn't a pipeline. It's more like a coil. The gospel pipeline really doesn't go out in a straight line. I mean, we've presented the pipeline in a linear fashion. And that is because many of the stages or elements of growth and grace are, in fact, along a certain process that many of us have, in fact, experienced and are experiencing. In reality, however, growth in the pipeline is more fluid and it's much more repetitive. We don't visit a point in the pipeline and then move on. We are constantly throughout our lives revisiting the various phases and elements of growth in grace. As a matter of fact, we need to revisit the various phases of the pipeline again and again. So that leads us to the 12th step of God's 12-step recovery program of grace. And that is what we're calling gospel recursion. Recursion means to return back to the same place again and again. It's sort of our Groundhog Day experience. We don't go through the phases of the pipeline never to revisit them again. It's almost like a water recycling plant. We're constantly needing to reflow through the same places again and again and again. The hope of this series is that you'll use this pipeline as a diagnostic of your life to see where you need a fresh flow of grace to lead you to new places in Christ. And as we revisit these phases of the pipeline, God does a work in grace in us that enables us to face with greater strength and greater victory the battles of the spiritual life that all of us face. So we're going to look at three battles of the spiritual life we face that constantly revisiting the phases of the pipeline helps give us the victory. First of all, we recycle through the pipeline to battle evil. Look at Titus 2 verse 12. Paul says, grace is training us to renounce ungodliness. Grace is constantly training us to renounce evil. The pipeline is training us for a battle, a lifetime battle versus the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a reality of life. We might as well embrace it. Evil is relentlessly hunting you, pursuing you to take you out of the battle. Now, evil does that through numerous strategies. Many of us think that evil hunts us primarily through irreligiosity. The dirty dozen, the filthy five, the nasty nine, the sinful six, the awful eight. And evil will, in fact, try to hunt us and take us out of the battle by getting us to go toward irreligiosity. But we've learned through the pipeline that the sin of religiosity is just as dangerous to the Christian life as irreligiosity. And so evil can also hunt us through self-reliance and self-sufficiency and self-effort. Evil will try to take us out of the battle, whether it be through self-righteousness or through self-despair. Satan doesn't care which ditch you fall into. He's simply trying to take you out. And one of the benefits of constantly reviewing the phases of the pipeline is the pipeline is so incredibly balanced in presenting to us the gospel message as grace, meaning the message of unconditional love, and grace also meaning the message of transforming power. So that when evil tempts us with irreligiosity, we're reminded through the pipeline that the gospel holds forth the message of transforming power. And when we're tempted to try to maintain God's favor and earn His blessing through our irreligiosity, the pipeline phases remind us that grace is the message of God's unconditional love for us. We're reminded as we go through the pipeline that our hearts are like Teflon. Like a fried egg slips off a Teflon pan, so the gospel is constantly slipping off our hearts. And that gives evil the only opening it needs to try to take us out. Evil strikes with lightning speed again and again to try to take us out. And that is why we must revisit the elements and phases of the pipeline with equal speed and equal consistency. I think I've told some of you this story before. True story. There was a man hunting deer in Northern California. His name was Jay Rathman. He had to climb a ledge in order to get to the spot where he wanted to get to next to track the deer. And his hands were on the ledge and his head just was peeking above the ledge, and he sensed some movement to his right. With lightning fast speed, a rattlesnake struck at him, just missing his ear. And with the force of the strike, its fangs got caught in the wool of his turtleneck sweater, and the snake immediately coiled itself around Rathman's neck. He reached up with his right hand and grabbed the snake behind its head and held on with all of his strength. Suddenly, because of the commotion, he fell off the ledge and started with the snake in his hand, sliding down through rocks and brush, and actually became wedged with his feet above his head, the blood rushing to his brain. He was in danger of passing out. The situation was urgent. He somehow was able to grab his rifle as it was falling down beside him and was able to disentangle the snake's fangs from his turtleneck sweater. Well, all that did was free the snake up to strike at him again and again. As he held on and the snake missed, he felt the warm venom running down his neck. He says the battle, which lasted for almost 20 minutes, during the entire time, he learned one thing about snakes. They never blink. He says, the snake and I were eyeball and eyeball for 20 minutes. Rathman held the snake so tightly that after 20 minutes, he finally had choked the snake to death. And when he tried to throw the snake off him, he found that his fingers were so impressed into the snake, he had to literally pry his fingers off the dead snake. What a picture of the relentless pursuit of evil to strike at us and to take us out. Evil never blinks. Evil strikes again and again. Not for 20 minutes, not for 20 hours, not for 20 days, not for 20 months, not for 20 years, but for a lifetime. Evil is relentless in taking us out through either the sin of religiosity or the sin of irreligiosity. And only revisiting continually the elements of grace in the pipeline will we achieve the balance necessary to be ready for whatever kind of strike evil comes at us with. And when it's all said and done, like Rathman, we will pry our fingers from the neck of the crushed serpent who has ultimately and finally been defeated. Recycle through the pipeline to battle evil. Secondly, recycle through the pipeline to battle expectations. Expectations are a huge problem in life. Husbands have expectations of wives. Wives have expectations of husbands. Parents have expectations of children. Children have expectations of parents. People in their vocations have expectations of their careers. Christians have expectations of their churches. And when we learn about the gospel, we begin to have expectations of grace. Look at Titus 2, verse 13. Paul says that we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of Christ. See, the pipeline reveals that our hope in grace will only ultimately be fulfilled at the return of Christ. Peter says much the same thing in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, as we begin to understand the gospel pipeline, we initially tend to experience great freedom, great joy, great assurance. And if we're not careful, we can begin to think that grace presented through the gospel pipeline is the new golden ticket. It's the key that's going to finally unlock the victorious Christian life. It's the thing that's finally going to fix me, and I'm not going to struggle anymore. And we soon find out that as we continue to grow in grace and revisit the phases of the pipeline, that we're wrestling with the same sins again and again. And we're battling the same temptations
over and over. And we might be tempted to give up on the gospel and say, Bob, the gospel's just not working. Grace isn't working. The pipeline isn't working. And my response would be, how do you know? What if that's how it works? See, the gospel pipeline constantly reminds us that there is no arrivalism just because grace is true. There is no triumphalism just because grace is true. Folks, the gospel of grace is not going to fix you this side of eternity. It is not going to diminish the power of the flesh in your life. The gospel isn't how people get fixed. The gospel is how people with broken hearts living in a broken world experience hope on a daily basis. We want to be fixed. That's not God's agenda. God wants us desperate for Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Philippians 3:12-13, Paul says, not that I have already laid hold of it. What do you mean, Paul? You talk about salvation all the time. You talk about the wonder of the cross all the time. What do you mean you haven't laid hold of it yet? What he means is what Bono said in their famous song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You wouldn't believe the complaints and criticism that Bono and U2 took from Christians when they released that song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. What do you mean, Bono? I thought you were a Christian. How can you possibly say you haven't yet found what you're looking for? He's simply saying the same thing that Paul's saying. Not that I have already laid hold of it yet, but I press on. We are not going to find in fullness what we're looking for in grace until we die or until Christ comes to take us home. U2's latest album is called No Line on the Horizon. There's a song on it called I Know I'll Go Crazy If I Don't Go Crazy Tonight. Here's one of the lyrics. Change of heart comes slow. It's not a hill, it's a mountain as you start out the climb. Bono understands the Christian life is slow and messy. And it involves revisiting the various elements of grace that we put in the gospel pipeline so that over time we're changed. Here's how Bono put it in a book entitled U2 by U2. He said, your nature is a hard thing to change. It takes time. Now, I've heard of people who have life-changing, miraculous turnarounds. People set free from an addiction after a single prayer. Relationships saved, where both parties just let go, let God, and it works. But Bono says, it's not like that for me. For all that, I was lost, but now I'm found. It's probably more accurate to say of me, I was really, really lost. And I'm a little less so at the moment. And then a little less and a little less again. That to me, he says, is the spiritual life. The slow reworking and rebooting the computer at regular intervals, reading the small print of the service manual. It has slowly rebuilt me into a better man. It has taken years, however, and it is not over yet. There's a man who understands grace. If we're going to experience joy in the Christian life, we must learn to deal with our expectations of the Christian life. People, we live in an instant culture.
Instant mashed potatoes. Instant dinners. Instant milk. Instant soup. Instant grits. And so then we expect instant sanctification. And it just does not happen that way. Change of heart comes slow. We still, every one of us, haven't found what we're looking for. Grace is how broken people with broken lives live in a broken world until Christ returns to make us whole. And recycling through the gospel pipeline will help us address our unrealistic, unbiblical expectations. Recycle through the pipeline to battle expectations. Recycle through the pipeline to battle evil. And then thirdly and finally, recycle through the pipeline to battle discouragement. Look at Titus 2:11. Grace has appeared, bringing salvation. Listen, in the midst of all of our battles, we need to be reminded of this great truth. Christ came to bring salvation. Look at Titus 3, verse 5. He has saved us. Past tense. As Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He's purchased our salvation once and for all. However, the New Testament also presents salvation in three different ways. There are places in the New Testament where we're taught that in Christ we have already been saved. There are also places in the New Testament where we are taught we are currently daily being saved. And then there are also places in the New Testament where we are being taught that we have yet to be saved. As we face our sin, our failure, as the gospel work in us seems to be messy and slow, as we seem to be stuck in Groundhog Day, living the same day again and again and again, facing the same temptations, the same trials, the same troubles, the same sin, it's easy to become discouraged. And as we revisit the phases of the gospel pipeline, we need to remember that there's never a moment when God's Spirit, by His grace, is not at work in us in ways that we're not even able to perceive. Look at Titus 2, verse 14. It says, Jesus gave Himself to redeem us from all lawlessness. Listen, Jesus didn't just give Himself to redeem us so that we go to heaven. He gave Himself to redeem us from lawlessness here and now, in our present day. And just because we won't arrive until we die or until Christ returns, that doesn't mean we're not making significant progress. Just because the gospel won't completely fix us in this life, that doesn't mean we're not experiencing substantial change. See, part of getting it when it comes to grace is recognizing that you're going to spend a whole life getting it. And part of recognizing that you're getting it is understanding that you don't get it. It's built in to the gospel pipeline. The process of constantly recycling through, revisiting elements that you thought you had already faced, and needing to face them again. That our whole lives, we're going to be tempted to go back into moralism, back into performance. Or we're going to be tempted to sit and soak in the hot tub and not get out of it. Our whole lives, we're going to find ourselves needing to be motivated by grace to pursue the disciplines and to get involved in mission. Our whole lives, we're going to be tempted to make grace all about us. And we're going to need to revisit the gospel pipeline phase of assertion that reminds us that grace is ultimately all about the glory of God. We've talked about the gospel snowman. We've talked about the gospel aircraft carrier. We've talked about the gospel waltz. We're going to talk now briefly as we close about the gospel pine tree. Have you ever climbed a mountain? I mean a big mountain, like Pikes Peak, maybe in a car. And an engine doesn't have enough oomph to go straight up, and nor do they have the wherewithal to build roads to go straight up. And so they have these things called switchbacks. And you either go round or you go back and forth. Now let's say that there's this really huge pine tree situated in one particular place, and all of the switchbacks end up going by that pine tree the entire way up. Now, picture that pine tree as your sin. And picture the switchbacks as revisiting the elements of the pipeline as you grow in grace. As you continue to make progress, you see that tree again and again and again. And if you're not careful, you'll think, there's that same sin, that same temptation, that same failure that I'm facing over and over and over again. Nothing's happening. The gospel isn't working. I'm not being changed. And I would submit to you that things are happening because you may be seeing the same tree, but you're seeing it from a different perspective because you're growing in grace. You're further up and further into Christ than you were the last time you saw that tree. And Satan will tempt you to discouragement when you see that same pine tree again and again and again. And he'll try to convince you that the gospel isn't working. And that's when you need to say, wait a minute, it may be the same struggle, but I am making progress in the gospel, and grace is working. There was a certain art school, and the professor was trying to teach the students to be patient with themselves, that you don't become a master painter in a day or a semester or in 4 years of college or even through graduate school. That it takes years and years and years of practice to become a master painter. And so he showed a painting of the Apostle Paul done by Rembrandt when Rembrandt was just a young man. And you could tell it was a Rembrandt, but it didn't look anything like some of Rembrandt's masterpieces. It lacked the richness. It lacked the depth. It lacked the subtleties of lighting that draws us in to the real classic Rembrandt paintings. And then he put up another slide, also a painting of the Apostle Paul by Rembrandt toward the end of Rembrandt's life. And it was a classic. The lighting, the shadows, the richness, the depth. I mean, it was a feast for the eyes. And here was the professor's point. He says that while Rembrandt was brilliant as an artist in his 20s, he clearly was not the master painter he would one day become. But it took decades of practice and life experience that would transform him into the artist he would become. Rembrandt had to paint like he did in his 20s to be able to grow toward the master artist he would become. Folks, as we leave the gospel pipeline, what I hope you're hearing me say this morning is that we're just beginning our journey. And we're going to stumble and fumble and trip as we go through the various phases. We're going to revisit them again and again and again. But as we do, know this, the Holy Spirit is transforming us bit by bit so that we will eventually become master painters that will be able to paint the gospel of grace in our lives and in our worlds with such depth
and richness that other people are drawn in to the feast of the soul. Bill Murray experienced Groundhog Day again and again and again. That was his Groundhog Day recursion. God's aim for us is gospel recursion. That we revisit the phases of the pipeline again and again and again so that we go further up and further in to Christ until He takes us home. Let's pray.